And I would like to share a word as we continue in the service tonight. I'd like for us to begin by going to the Word of God. So if you have a Bible with you, let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. And this is the familiar story that we find in the Gospel of Matthew about the birth of Christ. I'd like to read that. And then from that, I want to bring a message also tying in one of the songs that we just sang as a part of this cantata. Look with me, if you would, please, at Matthew chapter 1. And we'll begin the reading at verse 18. Verse 18 of chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. One of the most wonderful things to me, and I'm sure I speak for all of us here tonight, one of the most wonderful things about Christmas are the songs that we sing. Our carols, familiar to us, but every year we look forward to singing those songs. And it's not just the melodies that are so rich and so beautiful, but the words to the songs, the Christmas carols. They're so wonderful, telling us who came, telling us why he came, telling us what that means for you and me as sinners. Apart from Christ, there is no hope, but in Christ, there is real hope and hope for everyone that will believe in him. And so we enjoy singing the songs, don't we? And then the songs that we just sang, I do believe these are all very meaningful songs. Now, if there's one that I think has become a choir favorite, and I said this last night, and they did not disagree, so I think we're all in one accord, probably the song that's our favorite is that one you heard. It's entitled Jesus Messiah. It's probably the shortest of all the songs that we sang tonight. And yet, though it is brief, it is so profound. It is profound and yet simple. And there is a beauty in that simplicity. And I'd like to just go back with you, if I could, and sort of lay out those words once again and sort of build a little devotional message around that. Those words are so meaningful. The names, the titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Undoubtedly, it's one of the most beautiful and meaningful songs that has ever been written about our Lord. So let's think about those words. They might be still ringing fresh in your heart. I know they are in ours because we have sung that again tonight after last night, and then we practiced it earlier. And Doc has lovingly and patiently led us to be able to sing parts. When we don't know music, we act like we do, but we don't. Most of us don't. But he has got us on pitch. And when you are in that choir and you can hear the different parts all combining to sing out those glorious names. So let's think about those names together. Jesus. We read that in our text. And sometimes we just read right through the Christmas story, and maybe we just gloss right over that. We're not going to do that tonight. Let me just read again verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And then it tells us why. For he shall save his people from their sins. You see, the name Jesus means Savior. It is the name Joshua, or another way to pronounce it is Jehoshua. And it simply means Jehovah is salvation, or short, Savior. And it says right after the angel gave that name and told this would be the name, he shall save his people from their sins. So this is the name that reminds us of his mission. Now notice, this is a very definite and precise statement. I want to read the last part of that verse one more time. For he shall save his people from their sins. There's no uncertainty there. It's not just that Christ came to save somebody somewhere. It's that he came to save his people from their sins. We know that we are a chosen people. We studied that this morning in another book of the New Testament. And we are a blessed people indeed. And though God so loved the world, we understand that. We know also that God works in the hearts of his people. And make no mistake, when Christ came, he had a definite purpose and mission, and that is spelled out in this verse. He shall save his people from their sins. How thankful we are that Christ came as a Savior, because that's our greatest need, to be saved from our sins. And that's precisely what he came to do. The second title in that wonderful and beautiful song is Messiah. Jesus Messiah, in fact, is the title of the song. Now, we hear that title, Messiah, but perhaps we don't know what that really means. It's a Hebrew word from the Old Testament that means the anointed one. The corresponding term in the New Testament is the title Christ. That also means, in the Greek language, the anointed one. And so as the anointed one, this has great significance if you look at it in the context of the whole Bible. You see, in the Old Testament, there were three offices that all the people who served in those three offices had to be anointed by God, and they were also anointed in a symbolic way with oil. Oil was poured upon them, signifying that God had singled them out and selected them for a special task. Who were those three? Well, there was the prophet. All prophets were anointed for their ministry. Then there were the priests, and they also were anointed, the pouring of oil symbolizing the outpouring of the Spirit of God as they served in that role. And then the office of king. Kings were anointed. Now, as we think of those three roles, you can probably think of some individuals who served in those capacities. For example, prophet may come to mind, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, some of those minor prophets. There were a lot of them, but all of them were anointed for that office. When you think about priest, you probably think about Eli. You probably think about Aaron. He was the first high priest. You think about Levi. Maybe you're thinking about the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias. He also was a priest in the New Testament era. And all of those priests, no matter when they served or when they lived, they were anointed to that office. And then, of course, king. There was Saul. There was David, there was Samuel, there were others, but they were not voted into office. They didn't volunteer for the job. Of course not. They were selected by God and then set apart by God. Now, I've said all of that to say this. All of those men we mentioned, the prophets, the priests, the kings, they were only one of those three. No person served in a double role, or certainly not a triple role, but our Lord and Savior did. He is all three of those in one. So when we speak of him as the Messiah or the Christ, the Anointed One, what we're thinking about or should be thinking about is he is our prophet, he is our priest, and he is our king. We don't have time to go into all three of those, but just a word. A prophet is one who speaks on behalf of God. The prophet was the one who said, "Thus saith the Lord." And Christ came as our guide, did he not? He came as our teacher, the one they said that spoke with authority because he was God's chosen prophet. Then as priest, he offered not an animal sacrifice, but he offered himself. He was both priest and sacrifice. One of a kind. And then as king, he rules over us and cares for us. He's a benevolent king. Oh, he is a kind and gracious king. So Jesus, the Savior, Messiah, the Anointed One. And then the next thing in the song, if you remember it, is Blessed Redeemer. Blessed Redeemer. The word Redeemer has to do with one who helps a person out of bondage or slavery. That's the idea of redemption. And a Redeemer is one who makes that happen. Christ came to set our captive souls free. He came to free us from sin, from the penalty of sin. We were under a curse, all of us. So he sets us free from the penalty of sin. He sets us free from the power of sin. We do sin, but we're no longer under the dominion of sin as God's people. We have a power to overcome that. Though we don't always, there is that power. So he's redeemed us from sin's penalty and sin's power. And one day, yes for sure, he's going to redeem us from the very presence of sin in this world. How good to know this world is not our home. How good it is to read what the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. That Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. We're now living in the presence of sin. We see it everywhere on every hand. It dominates the news, and we just cannot get away from it. It's a filthy world, morally filthy, nasty. But we're going to a world of perfect righteousness, made ready for God's people. We are redeemed by our blessed Redeemer. And then the title Emmanuel, which again, it was in our text, verse 23. Let me read that one more time. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So here the name is actually interpreted for us. Emmanuel, it means literally that. God with us. And that's who Christ was. He was God in human flesh. You see, God by nature is spirit. The Bible tells us that. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so being spirit, uncreated spirit, he is invisible. No man has seen God in all of his glory at any time, the Bible tells us. But Christ came to reveal to us who the unseen God is. Is and what he is like. He came to explain God. Otherwise, God would be mysterious and we would not know him nearly like we do since Christ has come. And so he has come to show us who God is and what God is like. in all of his glory. Though veiled in human flesh, one day we'll see him, Christ, in all of his glory. Colossians 2:9 says that in Christ dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What a statement that is. Emmanuel. And then the song reminds us that he is the rescue for sinners. Now this is a little different than redemption. He is our Redeemer, but he's also the rescue for sinners. And this has in mind that we were all headed for certain judgment and eternal punishment. No way around that except someone, and that someone is Christ, to step in and rescue us from that impending judgment. The Bible says if we're saved, we are in Christ. And I like to illustrate that. Well, the Bible illustrates it for us. I'm just telling you what the Bible says about Noah and his family. Remember them? 8 of them entered the ark. They were safe from God's coming judgment upon the world so many years ago. Because why? They were in the ark. They were kept safe in the ark. And in a similar way, by faith we come into Christ. And if we are in Christ, we have been rescued from the wrath, the judgment, the punishment to come. Think about old Noah and his family. You know, those turbulent storm waters that came, those waters of judgment. No doubt, Noah and his family probably fell down inside that ark. But thank the Lord, they didn't fall out. And the same is true for us, isn't it? We stumble, we fall. But in Christ, there is rescue and there is hope for God's people. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then a couple more. He is the ransom from heaven. What's that mean? A ransom is a payment price. And it is a price that is sufficient to win the release of those who are captive. A ransom is a price paid for the release of the sinner. And so Christ came to give his life as a ransom to redeem us. One of the great statements Christ made about the purpose of his life and ministry is found in Matthew 20 and 28, where he said this, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." He is a ransom for sinners. Aren't we thankful? And ransom, remember this, it is a sufficient payment. That's why when Christ died on the cross and he uttered those words, "It is finished," that's what he was referring to. The payment price has been paid in full. God's justice is satisfied, and therefore we are free. What a Savior. And then the last one, Lord of all. We are told that he is Lord. Verse 22, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." We know he is Lord, and he's not Lord when we receive him as Lord. He's Lord whether we receive him or not. He is Lord because the Father has made him Lord. He has set him apart and put upon him the majesty, the glory, the honor. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And what a glorious passage it is in Philippians 2, where it says this, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he is Lord because God has made him Lord. And by his grace, we acknowledge him as Lord. We submit to him as Lord, gladly and obediently. And all of our days of eternity, we'll be honoring and praising our Lord Jesus Christ. There's other words in the song, and I just want to end with these other words. They're certainly not extras or just thrown in. They're just as meaningful as these titles. It says this, this beautiful line, "All our hope is in you." And it repeats it. All our hope is in you. Think of that. Without Christ, there is no hope. Had Christ not come to this world to be all that we've said about him tonight from Scripture, all that we've sung about him tonight, there would be no hope. All of us would be hopeless. But in him, there is hope. We have hope. And hope is not hope so. It's not a gamble. It's a sure thing. Our hope is steadfast and sure because of who he is and what he's done. It says, all our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world. Had Christ not come, this world would still be in utter darkness. But he did come. Aren't we grateful? Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for this meaningful song, and thank you for your word that goes right along with the song. And in fact, the song we know came from your word, as all good sacred songs do. Thank you for reminding us of these glorious truths of our wonderful Lord and Savior. And may they stay in our heart. May you drive them deep in our heart, in our minds, that we might think about these often, not only during Christmas, but all the year through. But Lord, especially in Christmas, the season where we sing about him in these ways and think about him and what he came to do and who he was, to do what only he could do, how we glorify you and thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, our prayer is that every one of us in this building tonight and whoever might be watching or will watch by live stream will know Christ as personal Lord and Savior, that they have a saving relationship with him. That is, he is all that we have said about him to those individuals. And Lord, if not, if there's anyone here or anyone listening now or in time to come that could not honestly say, he's my Redeemer, he's my Rescuer, he is my Lord, he is my Prophet, Priest, and King, he's my Savior. If they cannot say that, Lord, please work in their heart. Please show them the light. Give them, Lord, the desire to turn from their sin and to trust Christ to do for them what only he can do, to forgive their sin and to make them the person that you want them to be, to give them a new heart, give them a desire to obey you and live for you and bring you glory in this world and in the world to come. That's why you have made us for yourself. And Lord, we want to be your people. Those of us who are saved, we want to be close to you and obedient to you. So help us to do that. And may others come into your family this Christmas season. We do pray. And we ask it in Jesus' blessed name.